Thank you for being a valued supporter of the 10X Podcast Group. Your dedication means the world to us. Today, we bring you a gripping tale titled, The Doppelganger Deception. Your continued support and subscription fuel our passion for storytelling, and we deeply appreciate every moment you spend with us. So, without further ado, let's dive into today's compelling narrative. Chapter 1, Mirrors and Shadows. The morning sun filtered through the blinds, casting faint stripes of light across the parquet floor of Isabella Moore's modest apartment. Outside, the city murmured its typical rhythms, car horns, distant conversations, the occasional bark of a dog. To Izzy, the noise was just another backdrop, blending seamlessly with the clacking of her fingers on her keyboard. She leaned back in her chair, stretching her arms above her head. Her latest investigative article was nearing completion, a scathing expose on a local politician's fraudulent dealings. She sipped from her lukewarm coffee, the bitterness grounding her in her task. The world was chaotic, deceitful, but in her small corner of it, Izzy sought clarity and truth. It was what she did best. The soft buzz of her phone interrupted her thoughts. A notification from her banking app popped up on the screen. Transaction approved. $7,842 charged to your account. Her stomach tightened. She squinted at the message, reading it twice, then three times. It had to be a mistake. She hadn't spent anywhere near that amount, let alone on a single transaction. Setting her coffee down, she grabbed her phone and tapped the notification, pulling up her account. Her breath caught in her throat. The purchase had been made at an upscale boutique in New York City. Her mind raced. She hadn't been to New York in years. How could someone? Her thoughts were interrupted by another message. Delivery confirmed for your order. $2,345. Panic swelled in her chest. She hit the call button for her bank, her fingers trembling. The line connected with a robotic voice, instructing her to hold for the next available representative. Each second felt like an eternity as she drummed her fingers against the desk. "This is Isabella Moore," she said sharply when a human voice finally came on. "I need to report fraudulent activity on my account." The representative asked her a series of questions, and as Izzy answered, her mind raced through possibilities. Who could have gotten her information? She was meticulous with her accounts, careful not to fall for phishing scams or suspicious links. Her passwords were strong, her devices secure. When the call ended, she felt no relief, only a gnawing sense of unease. She closed her laptop and leaned back, staring at the ceiling. Fraud happened all the time. It didn't have to mean anything more than that, right? 2 days later, the unease turned to dread. It was late afternoon when Izzy found herself in a quaint cafe near downtown Chicago, her laptop open on the small table. She was halfway through a cappuccino, scrolling through news articles for her next piece, when a flash of movement caught her eye. Her gaze drifted toward the counter where customers lined up to order. She froze. A woman stood near the barista, her body angled slightly away. She wore a tailored trench coat and dark jeans, her hair pulled back into a loose bun. But it wasn't her outfit that drew Izzy's attention. It was her face. It was her face. Izzy's heart pounded in her chest. She blinked rapidly, as if her eyes might somehow be deceiving her, but the image remained unchanged. The woman turned slightly, giving Izzy a better view of her profile, and the resemblance was uncanny. No, it wasn't just a resemblance. It was identical. The chair screeched as Izzy pushed it back abruptly. She ignored the startled looks from nearby patrons and wove her way through the tables, her movements brisk and purposeful. Her pulse thundered in her ears, her palms damp with sweat. "Excuse me," Izzy said, her voice wavering as she approached the counter. The woman turned slowly, her lips curling into a faint, knowing smile. It was a smile Izzy had seen countless times in the mirror, but now felt alien and unsettling. "I was wondering when you'd notice," the woman said, her voice low and smooth. Izzy stared at her, words failing her. Up close, the likeness was even more disturbing. Every detail was the same. The shape of her jawline, the arch of her brows, the faint scar near her temple she'd gotten as a child. But there was something else, too, something off. The woman's eyes held a glint of mischief, a flicker of malice that made Izzy's skin crawl. "Who are you?" Izzy managed to whisper, her throat dry. The woman tilted her head, as if amused by the question. "That's a complicated answer. But for now, let's just say, I'm you." Izzy took a step back, her mind spinning. This wasn't possible. It couldn't be real. Her hands clenched into fists, her nails digging into her palms. She needed answers, now. "You've been using my name," Izzy said, her voice rising. "My account's my..." The woman raised a hand, silencing her with a gesture. "Calm down. You'll cause a scene." Her tone was infuriatingly calm, as though she were in complete control. Izzy glanced around, realizing other patrons were beginning to notice their exchange. She swallowed her anger and lowered her voice. "Tell me what's going on." "Now." The woman's smile widened. "If you want answers, meet me tonight. Millennium Park. 8 o'clock. She leaned in closer, her breath warm against Izzy's ear. "And come alone." Before Izzy could respond, the woman turned on her heel and strode out of the cafe, leaving Izzy standing there, frozen. The faint scent of her perfume lingered in the air, a scent Izzy recognized as her own. She sank back into her chair, her mind a whirlwind of fear and confusion. Who was this woman? How could she look exactly like her? And why was she trying to take over her life? Izzy had faced liars, criminals, and manipulators before, but this was something else entirely. And it was only the beginning. Chapter 2. The Doppelganger's Smile. The chill of the evening air bit at Izzy's skin as she stood at the edge of Millennium Park, her coat wrapped tightly around her. The soft glow of city lights reflected off the shimmering surface of the Cloud Gate sculpture, the bustling sounds of Chicago muffled by the tension humming in her ears. She checked her watch. 8:03 p.m. Izzy scanned the area, her breath fogging in the cold air. The park was quieter than she'd expected, save for a few scattered couples and the occasional jogger. Every shadow seemed to twist and shift under the dim light, her paranoia playing tricks on her. She'd almost convinced herself the woman wouldn't show when she heard the faint tap of heels against the pavement. Turning sharply, Izzy spotted her. The doppelganger emerged from the shadows, her silhouette sharp and deliberate. She was dressed impeccably, her posture exuding confidence as she strode toward Izzy. In the dim light, the resemblance was even more unnerving. Izzy felt like she was staring into a distorted mirror, one that reflected not just her face but a darker, more sinister version of herself. "Punctual," the woman said with a smirk, stopping a few feet away. "I like that." Izzy took a deep breath, forcing herself to remain calm. "Who are you?" The woman tilted her head, the smirk never faltering. "You can call me Amara. It's a name I've grown fond of." "Amara," Izzy repeated, the name tasting bitter on her tongue. "What do you want from me? Why are you? Why do you look like me?" Amara chuckled softly, as if amused by the question. "Ah, straight to the point. I like that about you. No wonder they chose you." Izzy's brow furrowed. "Who? Who chose me?" "Patience," Amara said, wagging a finger. "You'll get your answers. But first, let me make one thing clear. I don't look like you. You look like me." Izzy's jaw tightened. "You've been stealing from me. My accounts, my life. What's your game? Who sent you?" Amara stepped closer, her voice dropping to a whisper. "It's not your life anymore, Isabella. It's mine now. And if you're smart, you'll stay out of my way." "Like hell I will," Izzy snapped. "You don't get to just walk in, and..." Amara's expression darkened, the playful glint in her eyes replaced by something cold and dangerous. "I said stay out of my way. This isn't a game you can win." Izzy clenched her fists, her nails digging into her palms. "You don't know me. I don't back down, and I don't give up. Whatever you're planning, I'll stop you." Amara's lips curled into a slow, chilling smile. "Oh, Izzy. That's what I was counting on." Before Izzy could respond, Amara turned and walked away, disappearing into the shadows as quickly as she'd appeared. Izzy stood there, her heart pounding, her mind racing with unanswered questions. Back at her apartment, Izzy sat at her desk, staring at her laptop screen. The image of Amara's smirk was seared into her mind, a haunting reminder of the night's encounter. She opened a new document and began typing, her fingers flying over the keys as she tried to make sense of everything. She listed the facts. "Amara looks exactly like me. She's been stealing from my accounts. She knows details about my life that no stranger should know. She implied someone chose me. But who? And why?" Izzy paused, her gaze drifting to the faint reflection of herself in the darkened screen. For the first time in her life, she felt like she didn't recognize the person staring back. Her phone buzzed, pulling her from her thoughts. She grabbed it, her stomach tightening when she saw the message. "Unknown number. If you want answers, come to 1245 Brighton Street. Tomorrow. Midnight. And come alone." Izzy's grip tightened on the phone. The message sent a shiver down her spine, but it also lit a fire in her chest. She was done being a victim. If Amara wanted to play games, Izzy would play, but on her own terms. The next day passed in a blur. Izzy prepared herself as best she could, gathering tools from her investigative arsenal: a discreet voice recorder, a compact flashlight, and a small, hidden pocket knife. She didn't know what to expect at Brighton Street, but she refused to walk in blind. By the time she arrived, the city was cloaked in darkness, the street eerily quiet. The address led her to an abandoned building, its windows boarded up, the faint flicker of a single bulb above the entrance, the only sign of life. Izzy hesitated at the door, her heart hammering in her chest. Every instinct screamed at her to turn back, but she pushed forward, the weight of her determination outweighing her fear. Inside, the air was thick with the scent of dust and mildew. The faint sound of footsteps echoed in the distance, drawing her deeper into the building. She followed the noise, her grip tightening on the flashlight in her pocket. In the center of a dimly lit room stood Amara, flanked by two men whose faces were obscured by the shadows. A faint smile played on her lips as Izzy stepped into the light. "Welcome to the real game, Izzy," Amara said, her voice dripping with malice. "Let's see if you can keep up." The men stepped forward, their movements deliberate and menacing. Izzy's pulse quickened, but she held her ground, her eyes locked on Amara's. "Whatever you're planning," Izzy said, her voice steady despite the fear gnawing at her, "it ends here." Amara's laughter echoed through the room, cold and sharp. "Oh, darling, it hasn't even begun." Chapter 3, A Web of Lies. The tension in the room was suffocating. Izzy's gaze darted between Amara and the two men flanking her. Their faces remained obscured by the dim light, but their sheer size and deliberate stillness made it clear they weren't here to negotiate. Amara took a step forward, her heels clicking against the cracked concrete floor. The sound echoed ominously in the cavernous space, amplifying Izzy's unease. "You're brave, I'll give you that," Amara said, her tone dripping with mock admiration. "Most people would have run the moment they saw that text. But not you. You came. Alone." She smirked, her eyes gleaming with malice. "I respect that." "Cut the theatrics," Izzy snapped, her voice sharp despite the fear crawling up her spine. "I'm not here for your games. You're going to tell me who you are, what you want, and why you've been impersonating me." Amara chuckled softly, shaking her head. "Oh, Izzy. You think this is about you? How adorably naive." Izzy's fists clenched at her sides. "Enlighten me then. What's this about?" Amara's expression darkened, the playful glint in her eyes replaced by something colder. "You were just a piece of the puzzle. A stepping stone, if you will. But now," she tilted her head, studying Izzy like a predator sizing up its prey. "Now, you're a problem I need to solve." The larger of the two men stepped forward, his massive frame casting a shadow over Izzy. She instinctively took a step back, her fingers brushing the pocket knife hidden in her coat. Her mind raced, calculating her options. She couldn't fight them, not all three, but she couldn't afford to show fear either. "You're not going to scare me off," Izzy said, forcing steel into her voice. "Whatever game you're playing, I'll expose it." "And you?" Amara laughed, the sound cold and sharp. "Expose me? To who? Your boyfriend? Your family? The police?" She gestured around the room. "Go ahead, Izzy. Tell someone. But by the time they believe you, your life will be in ruins." Izzy's stomach twisted, but she refused to let it show. "You're not as untouchable as you think," she said. "People like you always slip up eventually." Amara's smile widened. "Perhaps. But not tonight." She glanced at the larger man and nodded. Before Izzy could react, he lunged forward, grabbing her by the arm. She struggled against his iron grip, her heart pounding as adrenaline surged through her veins. "Let me go," she yelled, twisting and kicking, but his hold didn't falter. Amara stepped closer, her voice low and menacing. "You've had your fun, Izzy. But now, it's time to teach you what happens when you stick your nose where it doesn't belong." Izzy's free hand darted into her pocket, fingers closing around the pocket knife. In one swift motion, she flicked it open and slashed at the man's arm. He roared in pain, releasing her just long enough for her to break free. "Run," her instinct screamed, and she didn't hesitate. She bolted toward the door, her footsteps echoing in the cavernous room. Behind her, Amara's voice rang out, sharp and angry. "Don't let her get away." Izzy's breath came in ragged gasps as she sprinted through the darkened streets. The cold night air burned her lungs, but she didn't dare slow down. She could hear the heavy thud of footsteps behind her, the sound growing louder with each passing second. She ducked into an alley, her heart pounding as she pressed herself against the wall. The shadows cloaked her, and she held her breath, listening as the footsteps grew closer. "Find her," one of the men barked, his voice echoing off the brick walls. Izzy's mind raced. She needed to get to safety, but her options were limited. She glanced around, her eyes landing on a rusted fire escape a few feet away. Without thinking, she darted toward it, her fingers gripping the cold metal as she climbed. The fire escape groaned under her weight, and for a moment, she thought it might give way. But it held, and she scrambled onto the roof, her movements fueled by sheer desperation. From her vantage point, she could see the two men searching the alley below. Amara stood a few feet away, her expression calm and calculating despite the chaos. "She's smarter than I gave her credit for," Amara said, her voice carrying in the still night air. "But it won't matter. We'll find her." Izzy crouched low, her heart hammering as she watched them retreat. She waited until their footsteps faded before climbing down the other side of the building. Her body ached, and her hands were scraped raw, but she couldn't afford to stop now. She needed answers, and she needed help. Back at her apartment, Izzy locked the door and double-checked the windows, her paranoia at an all-time high. She sank onto the couch, her hands trembling as she replayed the night's events in her mind. Amara wasn't just an imposter. She was dangerous, and she wasn't working alone. Whoever she was, whatever her motives, it was bigger than Izzy had anticipated. Izzy grabbed her laptop and began typing, her fingers flying over the keys as she dug into everything she could find about identity theft, impersonation, and organized crime. She searched for patterns, connections, anything that might explain why she'd been targeted. Hours passed, and the sun began to rise, casting a pale light over the city. Izzy's eyes burned with exhaustion, but she refused to stop. She wouldn't let Amara win. Her phone buzzed, and she flinched, her heart leaping into her throat. She grabbed it cautiously, her stomach sinking when she saw the message. "Unknown number. You're persistent. I'll give you that. But persistence won't save you. Stay out of this, Izzy. Or next time, you won't escape." Izzy stared at the message, her fear slowly giving way to determination. Amara wanted her to back down, to run and hide. But Izzy wasn't a coward. If Amara wanted to play dirty, Izzy would play dirtier. She was going to uncover the truth, no matter the cost. Chapter 4: Secrets in the Blood. The morning light seeped through the blinds, casting long shadows across Izzy's cluttered desk. She hadn't slept. Her mind was a swirling storm of questions and theories, none of which provided the clarity she desperately needed. Amara's taunts echoed in her head, her cryptic words fueling Izzy's determination. Sipping from a mug of coffee gone cold, Izzy scrolled through online forums and news archives. Her instincts told her there was something bigger at play, a connection between Amara's appearance and a larger network of deception. But without concrete evidence, she was grasping at straws. Her phone buzzed, startling her from her thoughts. She glanced at the screen and saw the name she hadn't expected, Margot Moore. Her mother. Izzy hesitated, her thumb hovering over the screen. She hadn't spoken to Margot in months. Their relationship was strained, to say the least. Margot was a master of evasion, always deflecting questions and offering half-truths, especially when it came to their family's past. But now, with Amara's mysterious remarks still fresh in her mind, Izzy couldn't ignore the possibility that her mother might know something. She answered, her voice cautious. "Mom. Izzy." Margot's tone was clipped, the usual warmth absent. "We need to talk. In person." Izzy's stomach tightened. Margot never initiated contact, unless it was important. "What's this about?" There was a long pause on the other end of the line. "It's complicated. Just come to the house. Now." "Mom, I don't have time for games." "Izzy." Margot's voice hardened, a rare show of authority that silenced Izzy's protests. "This is serious. Come now." Before Izzy could respond, the line went dead. She stared at the phone, unease settling in her chest. Margot rarely demanded anything, and when she did, it was never without reason. If there was even a chance she held answers, Izzy couldn't ignore it. The drive to her childhood home felt longer than usual. The suburban streets were quiet, lined with neatly trimmed hedges and houses that all looked the same. It was a stark contrast to the chaos swirling in Izzy's mind. She parked in the driveway and stepped out, the chill in the air biting through her coat. The house loomed before her, its familiar facade strangely uninviting. Memories of her childhood played in her mind. Birthday parties on the lawn, late-night arguments echoing through the halls, Margot's guarded expressions whenever Izzy asked about her father. Taking a deep breath, Izzy knocked on the door. It swung open almost immediately, revealing Margot's tense figure. Her mother's usually impeccable appearance was disheveled, her hair pulled back in a messy bun, dark circles under her eyes. "You look terrible," Izzy said, half-joking, trying to mask her own nerves. Margot ignored the comment, stepping aside to let her in. "We don't have much time." Izzy followed her into the living room, the air heavy with unspoken tension. Margot sat on the edge of the couch, her hands clasped tightly in her lap. Izzy remained standing, crossing her arms. "What's going on, Mom? Why the sudden urgency?" Margot hesitated, her gaze fixed on the floor. "There's something I need to tell you. Something I should have told you years ago." Izzy's stomach churned. "What are you talking about?" Margot looked up, her eyes glistening with unshed tears. "You're not an only child, Izzy." The words hit her like a physical blow. For a moment, she thought she'd misheard. "What?" "You had a twin sister," Margot said quietly. "Her name was Amara." Izzy sank into the nearest chair, her mind reeling. "A twin? Are you serious right now? Why? How? Why didn't you ever tell me?" Margot's hands trembled as she rubbed them together. "It wasn't a decision I made lightly. Your father and I, we thought it was best." "Best?" Izzy's voice rose. "You thought it was best to hide the fact that I had a sister? What happened to her?" Margot's expression darkened. "She was taken from us when you were barely a year old. We didn't know who was behind it. There was a ransom demand, but by the time we could act, she was gone." Izzy felt like the ground was shifting beneath her feet. "So what? You just gave up? Pretended she never existed?" Margot flinched. "It wasn't like that. We searched for years, hired investigators, followed every lead. But eventually," she trailed off, her voice breaking, "we had to accept that she was gone." "And you never thought to tell me?" Izzy demanded. "You just erased her from our lives." Margot's gaze hardened. "Do you think it was easy for me? Every day, I carried that guilt. Every day, I wondered if she was alive, if she was safe. But I didn't want you to grow up with that burden. I wanted you to have a chance at a normal life." Izzy stood, pacing the room as her mind raced. The pieces were starting to come together, but they formed a picture she couldn't fully grasp. "Amara's alive, Mom. She's here. And she's been impersonating me." Margot's face went pale. "What?" "She's been using my name, my accounts. She's infiltrating my life. And she's not working alone." Margot shook her head, disbelief etched across her face. "That's not possible. After all these years." "It's more than possible," Izzy said sharply. "It's happening. And I need to know everything you're not telling me." Margot hesitated, her gaze flickering to the window as if expecting someone to be watching. "There's something else," she said finally. "Your father, he wasn't who you thought he was." Izzy froze. "What do you mean?" Margot swallowed hard. "He was involved in things. Dangerous things. His work, his connections, they put all of us at risk. I think that's why Amara was taken. She wasn't kidnapped randomly. She was targeted." Izzy's pulse quickened. "Targeted by who?" "I don't know," Margot said, her voice barely above a whisper. "But whoever they were, they're still out there. And if Amara's back, it means they are, too." Izzy left her mother's house with more questions than answers. The revelation of her twin sister and her father's shadowy past had thrown her world into chaos. But one thing was clear: Amara's return wasn't a coincidence. As she drove back to her apartment, her phone buzzed with another message from the unknown number. Unknown number. Secrets have a way of coming to light. Are you ready for the truth? Izzy gripped the steering wheel tighter, her jaw set with determination. Whatever game Amara and her mysterious allies were playing, Izzy was done being a pawn. It was time to turn the tables. Chapter 5, Betrayal and Misdirection. The drive back to Izzy's apartment was a blur, the revelations from her mother swirling in her mind like a violent storm. A twin sister, a father with a dangerous past, and now a message hinting at more buried truths. Her knuckles whitened against the steering wheel as she tried to focus on the road, but her thoughts refused to settle. Amara wasn't just a thief or a con artist. She was family. Blood. The realization unsettled Izzy in ways she couldn't articulate, but it also ignited a fire within her. If Amara was alive, if she'd survived whatever horrors had separated them as children, why was she targeting Izzy now? More importantly, who was pulling the strings behind her? Back in her apartment, Izzy secured the locks on her door and closed all the blinds. Paranoia had taken root, and she didn't trust anything or anyone. Not anymore. She paced the small living room, her mind replaying the conversation with her mother. Her father's involvement in dangerous things. What could that mean? Organized crime? Corporate espionage? International syndicates? Margot had been frustratingly vague, and Izzy wasn't sure if it was due to ignorance or fear. Her phone buzzed again, pulling her from her thoughts. Another message from the unknown number. Unknown number. Truth comes at a price. Are you willing to pay it? Izzy's hands trembled as she stared at the screen. Her frustration boiled over, and she typed back a response, her fingers jabbing at the keyboard. Izzy, I'm done playing your games. Who are you? What do you want? The reply came almost instantly. Unknown number. You'll find out soon enough. But be careful who you trust, Izzy. Not everyone is on your side. Izzy scoffed, the words stoking her anger. Was this supposed to intimidate her? Make her second-guess herself? She wasn't about to fall for it. But as she reread the message, a flicker of doubt crept in. Be careful who you trust. Could it be a warning? Or was it another layer of manipulation designed to isolate her further? Later that evening, Izzy sat at her desk, determined to get answers. She dove into her father's past, scouring online archives and public records for any trace of his so-called dangerous connections. The search yielded little at first. Her father, Robert Moore, had been an executive at a now-defunct logistics company. There were no scandals attached to his name, no lawsuits, no red flags. But something about the company caught her attention. Its sudden closure years ago was abrupt and shrouded in mystery. She found scattered mentions of financial discrepancies and rumors of ties to organized crime, but nothing concrete. Then she stumbled upon a name, Victor Crane. The same name she'd uncovered earlier in connection with Amara. Her chest tightened as she clicked through articles and old reports, piecing together a picture of a man who thrived in the shadows. Victor Crane was a financier, but not the legitimate kind. His name was linked to offshore accounts, shell corporations, and illicit trades spanning multiple countries. He was a ghost, someone who left just enough of a trail to be feared but not enough to be caught. Izzy leaned back in her chair, her mind racing. If Victor Crane had been connected to her father's company, could he also be tied to Amara? Was he the puppet master pulling the strings? Her phone buzzed again. This time, it wasn't a message. It was a call. The screen displayed Elliot, her fiancé. Relief mixed with hesitation as she answered. Hey, she said, her voice strained. Hey, Izzy, Elliot replied, his tone soft but cautious. I've been worried. You've been distant lately. Is everything okay? Izzy hesitated. She wanted to confide in him, to unload the chaos swirling inside her, but something held her back. The warning from the unknown number echoed in her mind. Be careful who you trust. I'm fine, she said finally. Just work stuff. There was a pause on the other end. You sure? You don't sound fine. I'm just tired, she lied. I'll be okay. Okay, Elliot said, though his voice carried a note of doubt. Well, if you need anything, you know I'm here. I know. Thanks, Elliot. She ended the call quickly, guilt twisting in her stomach. Elliot didn't deserve to be shut out, but until she understood the full scope of what she was dealing with, she couldn't risk dragging him into it. The following day, Izzy's instincts told her to follow up on her father's former company. She tracked down one of his old colleagues, a retired accountant named Gerald Fields, who lived in a quiet suburb a few hours away. Gerald greeted her at the door, his weathered face marked by years of stress. "You're Robert's daughter?" he asked, squinting at her. "You look just like him." Izzy forced a smile. "I was hoping you could help me with something. It's about my father's old job." Gerald hesitated, but eventually invited her inside. Over cups of lukewarm tea, he recounted the rise and fall of the company, his voice tinged with bitterness. "Your father was a good man," Gerald said. "He didn't deserve what happened." "What did happen?" Izzy pressed. Gerald's gaze shifted to the window, his expression darkening. "The company got tangled up with the wrong people. People like Victor Crane. Your father tried to distance himself, but by then, it was too late." "What do you mean, too late?" Gerald sighed. "Crane doesn't let people walk away. When your father pushed back, they retaliated. The company collapsed, and your father... Well, I'm sure you know how he died." Izzy's throat tightened. She'd always been told her father's death was an accident, a car crash caused by bad weather. But now, she wasn't so sure. "Are you saying my father was murdered?" she asked, her voice barely above a whisper. Gerald's silence was answer enough. That night, Izzy sat in her apartment, piecing together the threads of a sinister tapestry. Her father's death, Victor Crane's involvement, Amara's sudden appearance, it was all connected. But how? And why now? Her thoughts were interrupted by a knock at the door. She froze, her heart pounding. She hadn't invited anyone, and she wasn't expecting visitors. Cautiously, she approached the door, peering through the peephole. What she saw made her blood run cold. It was Elliot. And standing behind him, half hidden in the shadows, was Amara. Chapter 6, The Silent Puppeteer. Izzy's breath caught in her throat. She pressed her eye to the peephole again, as if her mind might have been playing tricks on her. But the scene remained the same. Elliot stood at her door, his hand raised to knock again, while Amara lingered just behind him, a faint smirk on her face. Panic surged through her. How had Amara found Elliot? Why was he here with her? Izzy's thoughts raced as she tried to decide her next move. Her instincts screamed at her to stay silent, to pretend she wasn't home, but Elliot's voice cut through her hesitation. Izzy? Are you there? It's me. Amara remained silent, but her presence was a thunderous weight behind Elliot's words. Izzy clenched her fists, her mind calculating. If she didn't answer, would Elliot leave? Or would Amara push her way in regardless? Her phone buzzed on the kitchen counter, startling her. She grabbed it, her heart sinking when she saw the message from the same unknown number. Unknown number. Answer the door, Izzy. Let's talk like adults. She swore under her breath, her pulse hammering. Amara wasn't just outside, she was watching every move. Slowly, she unlocked the deadbolt and cracked the door open, her face a mask of forced calm. Elliot, she said, her voice steady despite the storm raging inside her. What are you doing here? I've been worried about you, Elliot said, his brows furrowing as he stepped closer. You've been acting strange lately, and I needed to make sure you're okay. Izzy's gaze flickered to Amara, who stood just behind him, her expression calm but menacing. Who's this? Izzy asked, feigning ignorance as her stomach churned. Oh, Elliot said, glancing over his shoulder. This is Amara. She came to see me earlier, said she's your sister. I didn't even know you had one. Izzy's grip on the door tightened, her nails digging into the wood. She forced a tight smile. Neither did I. What a surprise. Amara stepped forward, her smirk widening. Izzy, darling, you're such a terrible communicator. Poor Elliot here was so confused when I introduced myself. I thought I'd help clear the air. Izzy swallowed her anger, her eyes narrowing. What do you want, Amara? Just a friendly conversation, Amara said, her tone light but her gaze sharp. Invite us in, won't you? Izzy's first instinct was to refuse, but Elliot's concerned expression stopped her. If she pushed them away now, Amara might escalate, and Elliot could get caught in the crossfire. With great reluctance, she stepped aside, opening the door wider. Fine, she said. Come in. The tension in the apartment was palpable as they sat around the small coffee table. Izzy perched on the edge of her chair, her every muscle taut, while Amara lounged casually on the couch, exuding confidence. Elliot sat between them, his confusion and unease evident. So, Elliot began, breaking the silence, what's going on? I feel like I've walked into the middle of some family drama. You could say that, Izzy replied, her tone clipped. Amara and I have some unfinished business. Unfinished. Amara echoed, her voice dripping with mockery. That's putting it lightly. You've been avoiding me, Izzy. That's no way to treat your sister. Elliot's gaze darted between them. I'm sorry, but how is this the first time I'm hearing about you, Amara? Izzy's never mentioned having a sister. She didn't know, Amara said smoothly. We were separated as children. It's a tragic story, really. Izzy's jaw tightened. Cut the act. Why don't you tell him the real reason you're here? Amara's smirk faltered, her eyes narrowing. For a brief moment, the mask slipped, revealing the cold fury beneath. I'm here because you owe me, Izzy. You've lived a privileged life while I've had to fight for everything. It's time to even the playing field. Izzy leaned forward, her voice low and steady. If you think I'm going to let you ruin my life, you're sorely mistaken. Amara's lips curled into a cruel smile. Oh, Izzy. I've already started. Elliot looked between them, alarmed. Okay, hold on. What is she talking about? What's going on? Izzy hesitated, the weight of her secrets pressing down on her. She wanted to protect Elliot, to shield him from the danger Amara posed, but she couldn't lie to him, not completely. She's been impersonating me, Izzy said finally. Using my name, my accounts. She's trying to take over my life. Elliot's eyes widened. What? Amara, is that true? Amara feigned a look of hurt. Izzy, how could you accuse me of something so awful? I came here to reconnect, to make amends, and this is how you repay me. She's lying, Izzy snapped. She's manipulating you. Elliot hesitated, his gaze shifting to Amara. I don't know what to believe. You should believe me, Amara said softly, leaning closer to him. Izzy has always been paranoid. She's probably just overwhelmed with work. Isn't that right, sister? Izzy's hands clenched into fists. She could see the doubt flickering in Elliot's eyes, and it infuriated her. Amara was weaving her web, and Elliot was walking right into it. I need you to trust me, Izzy said, her voice firm. Amara is dangerous. Whatever she's told you, it's a lie. Elliot hesitated, torn. I don't know, Izzy. This is all so sudden. You've been distant lately, and now this. Amara's smirk returned, victorious. See, even your precious fiancé is starting to see the cracks. Izzy shot to her feet, her frustration boiling over. Get out. Both of you. Amara stood gracefully, adjusting her coat. Gladly. But this isn't over, Izzy. Not by a long shot. Elliot lingered, his expression conflicted. Izzy, I just want to understand. Go, she said, her voice trembling with anger. If you don't believe me, then go with her. Hurt flashed across Elliot's face, but he didn't argue. He followed Amara out, leaving Izzy alone in the silence of her apartment. When the door closed, Izzy sank onto the couch, her head in her hands. Amara had planted seeds of doubt, and now Elliot was slipping away. Izzy felt the weight of isolation settling on her shoulders, but she couldn't let it break her. If Amara wanted a war, Izzy would give her one, and she wouldn't stop until she uncovered the truth, even if it destroyed everything in the process. Chapter 7, A Dangerous Alliance. The hollow silence of Izzy's apartment pressed in on her as the echoes of the slammed door reverberated in her mind. Elliot was gone, and with him, her last semblance of normalcy. Amara had driven a wedge between them, and Izzy couldn't shake the sinking feeling that her sister wasn't just toying with her, she was dismantling her life piece by piece. But Izzy wasn't about to let Amara win. Her phone sat on the coffee table, buzzing intermittently with messages from Elliot. She ignored them, the pain of his hesitation too raw to confront. Instead, she picked up her laptop and dove back into the tangled web she'd begun unraveling. Her father's past, Victor Crane's shadowy operations, and Amara's connections to it all. If she was going to fight back, she needed an ally. Hours later, Izzy found herself in an unmarked precinct building downtown, the air stale and the lighting dim. Detective Kendra Malik, a sharp-eyed investigator with a reputation for tackling high-profile fraud cases, sat across from her. So, Malik said, leaning back in her chair. Let me get this straight. You're claiming someone who looks exactly like you. Your twin sister, whom you didn't know existed, has been impersonating you, draining your accounts, and infiltrating your life. Yes, Izzy said firmly, her hands gripping the edges of her chair. Malik's brow arched skeptically. And this twin of yours is tied to Victor Crane? The same Victor Crane who's been dodging international law enforcement for decades. Yes, Izzy repeated, her frustration mounting. Look, I know how it sounds, but I'm telling you the truth. Amara's dangerous. She's not just after my identity. She's part of something bigger. Malik regarded her for a moment, her sharp features betraying no emotion. Do you have proof? Izzy hesitated. Not yet, but I have leads. My father's old company was connected to Crane, and Amara is using his resources to... To what? Malik interrupted, her tone clipped. Play dress up? Steal a little money? Look more, I deal with facts, not conspiracies. And right now, all you have is a wild story and a lot of assumptions. Izzy leaned forward, desperation in her voice. If you don't believe me, fine. But at least look into Amara. She's not just impersonating me. She's destroying my life. And if she's working with Crane, she's part of something you can't afford to ignore. Malik sighed, tapping her pen against the desk. All right. I'll run her name through the system, see what comes up. But don't expect miracles. If this goes nowhere, don't waste my time again. Thank you, Izzy said, a glimmer of hope sparking in her chest. That's all I'm asking. The next day, Izzy's phone rang just as she was finishing a cup of coffee. She answered without checking the caller ID, her voice weary. Hello. It's Malik, came the detective's curt voice. We need to talk. They met at a small diner on the outskirts of the city, the kind of place where conversations were drowned out by the clatter of dishes and the hum of old jukeboxes. Malik slid into the booth across from Izzy, her expression grim. I ran your sister's name, Malik said without preamble. and you were right. Amara Moore doesn't just exist. She's on several watch lists. Izzy's heart skipped a beat. What? For what? Fraud, forgery, identity theft. She's been active in at least 3 states under different aliases, and there's evidence linking her to offshore accounts tied to Crane's network. Izzy's stomach churned. So you believe me? Malik held up a hand. Let's not get ahead of ourselves. This doesn't mean your whole story checks out. But it does mean Amara is more than just a grifter. She's dangerous, and if she's tied to Crane, you might be in over your head. Izzy bristled. I don't have a choice. She's already torn my life apart. Malik leaned forward, her voice low. Then let me help you. If we can pin something concrete on Amara, we can use her to get to Crane. But you need to play this smart. What do you mean? Izzy asked, suspicion creeping into her tone. I mean, stop running around trying to solve this on your own, Malik said firmly. If you confront her again, you'll just make yourself a bigger target. Let me handle the investigation. Izzy hesitated. Trust didn't come easily to her, especially not now. But Malik was the only one who seemed willing to believe her, and if Amara was as dangerous as she suspected, she couldn't fight this battle alone. All right, Izzy said finally. What do we do? Malik leaned back, a faint smile tugging at her lips. We set a trap. The plan was simple on the surface. Use Izzy as bait to lure Amara into a situation where she'd slip up. Malik would monitor the encounter from a distance, ready to move in if things went south. It was risky, but it was the best chance they had to catch Amara off guard. The first step was to draw her out. Izzy sent a carefully worded text to the unknown number, her fingers trembling as she typed. Izzy, you win. Let's talk. Just the two of us. The response came quickly. Unknown number. Smart choice. Millennium Park. Midnight. The park was eerily quiet when Izzy arrived, the usual bustle of the city replaced by an oppressive stillness. She scanned the area, her pulse quickening as she spotted Amara near the Cloud Gate sculpture, her figure illuminated by the faint glow of nearby streetlights. Izzy approached cautiously, her heart pounding. She knew Malik was watching from the shadows, but the distance between them felt insurmountable. If Amara noticed anything suspicious, the entire plan could fall apart. You finally came to your senses, Amara said, her voice laced with mockery. Ready to hand over the keys to your life? Izzy forced a calm she didn't feel. I just want to understand. Why me? Why now? Amara's smirk widened. Because it's my turn, Izzy. You've had everything handed to you. Love, success, a future. I had to claw my way out of the dirt. And now, I'm taking what I deserve. It doesn't have to be like this, Izzy said, her voice steady despite the lump in her throat. We're family. Amara's expression hardened. Family? Don't make me laugh. You're just a pawn in a game you don't even understand. And what game is that? Izzy pressed, her eyes narrowing. Amara leaned closer, her voice dropping to a whisper. The one where you lose. Before Izzy could react, Amara turned on her heel and disappeared into the shadows, leaving Izzy standing alone in the cold night air. Malik emerged moments later, frustration etched across her face. She's good, the detective muttered. Too good. Izzy clenched her fists, her anger bubbling over. We'll get her. I don't care how long it takes. Malik nodded, her eyes glinting with determination. Then let's get to work. Chapter 8, The Double Trap. The next few days passed in a haze of planning and anticipation. Every interaction with Amara revealed her cunning, but it also exposed cracks in her strategy. Izzy and Malik spent hours poring over evidence, piecing together a trap that would leave Amara no choice but to reveal her true intentions, and hopefully lead them to Victor Crane. But as Izzy sat in Malik's office one afternoon, reviewing surveillance footage of Amara withdrawing money from a fake account, doubt gnawed at her. Amara was always one step ahead, her moves deliberate and precise. Could they really outsmart her? She's overconfident, Malik said, sensing Izzy's hesitation. That's her weakness. People like her think they're invincible, but they always make mistakes. Izzy nodded, though unease lingered. She couldn't afford to let fear cloud her judgment. Amara had already taken too much from her. It was time to take something back. The trap hinged on baiting Amara with something she couldn't resist, a chance to sabotage Izzy's career and reputation. Izzy would stage a high-profile meeting with one of her key contacts, an influential tech mogul known for exposing financial crimes, and leak the information to Amara. The meeting would take place at an upscale restaurant downtown, with Malik and her team stationed nearby. This is risky, Malik warned as they finalized the details. If she catches on, she could disappear for good. She won't, Izzy said, her voice firm. Amara doesn't back down. She'll come, and when she does, we'll be ready. The night of the meeting arrived, and Izzy felt a mix of anticipation and dread as she stepped into the restaurant. She wore a sleek black dress and carried a leather briefcase filled with carefully crafted documents, fake, but convincing enough to lure Amara in. The restaurant was crowded, its polished floors and sparkling chandeliers a stark contrast to the chaos simmering beneath the surface. Izzy spotted Malik seated at a corner table, dressed inconspicuously and scanning the room with practiced ease. A small earpiece tucked behind Izzy's hair connected her to the detective's team. Remember, Malik's voice crackled in her ear. Act natural. If she takes the bait, we'll move in. Izzy nodded subtly and took her seat near the center of the room, placing the briefcase on the table. She ordered a glass of wine, her fingers tapping nervously against the stem of the glass as she waited. Amara arrived 20 minutes later, her entrance as calculated as ever. She wore a crimson dress that turned heads, her confidence radiating as she walked to Izzy's table and sat down without waiting for an invitation. Bold move, Amara said, her lips curving into a smirk. But then again, you've always been predictable. Izzy forced a smile. Glad you could make it. Amara's gaze flicked to the briefcase. What's this? Another desperate attempt to outmaneuver me. Something like that, Izzy said, keeping her tone casual. I thought it was time we had an honest conversation. Amara laughed softly. Honesty. That's rich coming from you. Izzy leaned forward, her voice low. You've already taken so much from me. My accounts, my reputation, even my fiancé. What more do you want? Amara's smirk faded, replaced by a cold, calculating expression. Everything. The word hung in the air, heavy with malice. Izzy's heart pounded, but she kept her composure. Well, then you're going to need this. She tapped the briefcase. Amara's eyes narrowed. What's inside? Information, Izzy said cryptically. On my contacts, my sources, everything you need to finish what you started. Amara hesitated, suspicion flickering across her face. Why would you just hand this over? Izzy met her gaze, her expression unreadable. Because I'm done fighting. You win. For a moment, Amara seemed taken aback. Then she smiled, a slow, triumphant smile that sent a shiver down Izzy's spine. Smart girl. Let's see what you've got. As Amara reached for the briefcase, Izzy's pulse quickened. Malik's voice crackled in her ear. Wait for it, wait. Amara opened the briefcase, her eyes scanning the documents inside. Izzy watched as her expression shifted from triumph to confusion. What is this? Amara demanded, looking up. Checkmate, Izzy said. Before Amara could react, Malik and her team descended, their presence swift and overwhelming. Amara tried to stand, but two officers blocked her path, their hands gripping her arms. What's going on? Amara snarled, her composure slipping for the first time. Amara Moore, Malik said, stepping forward. You're under arrest for identity theft, fraud, and conspiracy. Amara's eyes blazed with fury as she turned to Izzy. You think this is over? You're a fool if you think you've won. Izzy stood, her voice steady. Maybe not. But it's a start. Later, as the adrenaline faded and the restaurant emptied, Malik approached Izzy with a grim expression. We've got her for now, but she's not the endgame. Victor Crane is still out there, and she's not likely to talk. She will, Izzy said, her jaw set. Because she hates losing. And she knows that as long as Crane's out there, she's expendable. Malik nodded, her respect for Izzy evident. You've got guts, Moore. I'll give you that. Izzy managed a faint smile. I'm not done yet. That night, Izzy returned to her apartment, exhaustion weighing heavily on her. Amara was in custody, but the battle was far from over. Victor Crane loomed like a shadow over everything, and she knew the fight ahead would be even more dangerous. But for the first time in weeks, Izzy felt a glimmer of hope. She had taken a step forward, and she wasn't about to stop now. As she lay in bed, her phone buzzed with a new message. Unknown number. Congratulations, Izzy. But the real game is just beginning. Izzy stared at the screen, determination hardening her resolve. Let the game begin. Chapter 9, The Shadow's Gambit. The chill of the early morning was sharper than Izzy had anticipated as she stood outside the precinct building. The quiet hum of the city began to stir, and the distant sound of car horns blended with the faint murmur of footsteps on the pavement. Malik had called her in at dawn, a development that could only mean one thing. Amara had made a move. Inside the interrogation room, the air was thick with tension. Amara sat at the table, her wrists bound in handcuffs, but her demeanor was anything but subdued. She leaned back in her chair, her crimson lips curled into a smug smile, her eyes locked on Izzy as she entered. "Well, well," Amara said, her voice dripping with mockery. "If it isn't my darling sister. Here to gloat." Izzy remained silent, her gaze cold and unflinching. She took a seat across from Amara, folding her hands neatly on the table. Malik stood behind the two-way mirror, observing, ready to intervene if necessary. "I'm not here to gloat," Izzy said evenly. "I'm here to get answers." Amara chuckled, shaking her head. "You think you're in control, don't you? That locking me up is some kind of victory." Izzy leaned forward, her voice low and sharp. "You're here because you made a mistake. And now you're going to tell me everything, about Crane, about your connection to him, and about why you targeted me." Amara's smirk faltered for a fraction of a second before she composed herself. "You're adorable when you're desperate." Izzy's jaw tightened. She glanced at Malik through the mirror, silently signaling for the detective to enter. Malik stepped into the room, her presence commanding, and placed a folder on the table. She opened it, revealing a series of photographs, bank records, surveillance images, and incriminating evidence tying Amara to multiple crimes. "Amara Moore," Malik said, her tone matter-of-fact. "We've got enough to put you away for a very long time. But if you cooperate, we might be willing to make a deal." Amara studied the photos with feigned disinterest. "A deal? How quaint." Malik crossed her arms. "Victor Crane, tell us everything you know, and we'll consider reducing your charges." At the mention of Crane's name, Amara's smirk disappeared entirely. A flicker of fear passed over her face, so brief it was almost imperceptible, but Izzy caught it. "I don't know what you're talking about," Amara said, her voice icy. Izzy leaned closer, her voice sharp. "You and I both know that's a lie. Crane's been pulling your strings from the start. You think he cares about you? You're just another pawn to him." Amara's gaze darkened, and for the first time, her mask of confidence began to crack. "You don't understand what you're dealing with," she said quietly. "Then help us understand," Malik pressed. "Crane's empire is crumbling. He's losing allies, losing ground. You can either go down with him, or you can help us take him down." Amara hesitated, her expression shifting as she weighed her options. Finally, she leaned back in her chair, her eyes narrowing. "You want Crane? Fine. But you're not going to like what I have to say." For the next hour, Amara spoke in clipped, calculated sentences, revealing fragments of information about Crane's operations. She described his network of shell corporations, his use of offshore accounts, and his penchant for leveraging people's weaknesses to control them. But when the conversation turned to her personal connection to Crane, Amara's guard went up. "He's untouchable," she said, her voice laced with bitterness. "You think you can stop him? You're dreaming." Malik leaned forward, her tone firm. "Nobody's untouchable, Amara. Not even Crane." Amara laughed humorlessly. "You don't know him like I do. He sees everything, controls everything. And when he's done with you, he doesn't leave witnesses." Izzy's stomach churned at the implication, but she refused to back down. "Then why work for him? Why do his dirty work if you know how dangerous he is?" Amara's eyes locked onto Izzy's, her expression unreadable. "Because sometimes survival means making deals with the devil." Later that day, Izzy and Malik reviewed the intel Amara had provided. Much of it aligned with what they already suspected, but there were new details, locations, names, and accounts, that could give them a foothold in Crane's empire. "He's hosting a private auction in 3 days, Malik said, tapping a highlighted section of the report. "High-value assets, black market deals. It's the perfect opportunity to gather evidence. And the perfect opportunity for him to notice us," Izzy said, her unease growing. "If Amara's right, Crane's not just dangerous, he's paranoid. One wrong move, and he'll disappear." Malik nodded. "That's why we have to be careful. But this might be our only shot." Izzy hesitated, the weight of the decision pressing down on her. Taking on Crane felt like staring into the abyss, but letting him go meant living in fear forever. "I'm in," she said finally. "Let's take him down." The next 3 days were a blur of preparation. Malik's team worked tirelessly to secure undercover identities, surveillance equipment, and escape routes. Izzy spent hours studying Crane's known associates, memorizing every detail that could help her blend in at the auction. When the night of the event arrived, Izzy stood in front of the mirror, her reflection barely recognizable. Her sleek black dress and carefully styled hair transformed her into someone who looked like they belonged in Crane's world. But beneath the surface, her nerves were frayed. "You ready?" Malik asked, stepping into the room. She was similarly disguised, her sharp eyes softened by expertly applied makeup. Izzy nodded, her resolve hardening. "Ready as I'll ever be." The auction was held in a sprawling estate on the outskirts of the city, its opulent halls filled with the hum of whispered conversations and clinking glasses. Izzy moved through the crowd, her every step measured, her every glance calculated. Crane was nowhere to be seen, but his presence was palpable. Izzy felt the weight of his influence in every corner of the room, in the wary glances exchanged by guests and the subtle tension that underpinned every interaction. "Stay focused," Malik's voice crackled through her earpiece. "We're looking for anything that ties him to the bigger picture." Izzy nodded subtly, her gaze scanning the room. Then, out of the corner of her eye, she saw him. Victor Crane. He stood near the far end of the room, his tall, imposing figure exuding authority. His silver hair and sharp suit gave him an air of sophistication, but his cold, calculating eyes betrayed the predator beneath the facade. Izzy's breath hitched, but she forced herself to remain calm. This was her chance to confront the man who had haunted her family, and to finally uncover the truth. As she approached, Crane's gaze met hers, and a faint smile tugged at his lips. "Ah," he said, his voice smooth and chilling. "You must be Isabella Moore. I've been expecting you." Chapter 10, Reclaiming the Mirror. The room seemed to shrink around Izzy as Victor Crane's words echoed in her ears. "I've been expecting you." His voice was smooth, measured, and oozing with confidence. It was as though he had orchestrated her arrival, a master puppeteer pulling every string with precision. Izzy's pulse thundered in her ears, but she forced herself to remain composed. Her carefully curated disguise had brought her this far, and she couldn't afford to falter now. She straightened her spine, meeting Crane's piercing gaze head-on. "Mr. Crane," she said, her voice steady despite the storm raging inside her. "I wasn't expecting to meet you so soon." Crane's lips curled into a faint smile, though his eyes remained sharp and calculating. "Life is full of surprises, Ms. Moore. But I imagine you already know that." Izzy's heart tightened at his words, the implication of his knowledge cutting through her. He knew who she was. He knew everything. But how? Had Amara betrayed her? Or had he known all along? "What brings you to this gathering?" Crane asked, his tone casual but his expression anything but. Izzy hesitated, her mind racing for a plausible answer. "I'm here to explore new opportunities." Crane chuckled softly, a sound that sent chills down her spine. "Opportunities, indeed. But the question is, are you here to seize them, or to disrupt them?" The air between them crackled with tension. Izzy opened her mouth to respond, but before she could, a voice cut through the room. "Victor, darling," Amara said, striding toward them with her usual elegance. Her crimson dress glinted under the chandelier light, her smile as venomous as ever. "I see you've met my dear sister." Crane raised an eyebrow, his amusement evident. "Ah, so it's true. The infamous Moore twins. A fascinating reunion, I must say." Izzy shot a glare at Amara, her hands clenching into fists. "You knew I'd come here." "Of course," Amara replied, her voice dripping with condescension. "You're so predictable, Izzy. Always chasing answers. Always walking straight into traps." Izzy's blood ran cold. She glanced around the room, her stomach sinking as she noticed several guests turning their attention toward her. Subtle nods passed between them, their expressions unreadable but undeniably threatening. "You've been a thorn in my side for too long," Amara continued, stepping closer. "And now, it's time to end this little game." Crane remained silent, his gaze flicking between the two sisters as though observing a chess match. Izzy's mind raced, searching for a way out. Malik's voice crackled faintly in her earpiece. "Stay calm. Backup is on the way." But backup wasn't here yet, and Izzy was running out of time. Amara reached into her clutch, pulling out a sleek black phone. She tapped the screen, and a series of images appeared on the room's massive display screen. Photos of Izzy, her bank accounts, her correspondence with Malik. All carefully curated to paint her as a criminal. "Ladies and gentlemen," Amara announced, her voice carrying through the room. "Allow me to introduce Isabella Moore, a master manipulator and fraudster. She came here tonight to expose all of you, to tear down everything you've worked for." The murmurs in the room grew louder, a wave of distrust and anger rippling through the crowd. Izzy's chest tightened. Amara had flipped the narrative, turning the entire room against her in a single move. "She's lying," Izzy said, her voice firm. "This is her game, not mine. She's been impersonating me, stealing from me, destroying my life." Amara laughed, the sound sharp and cruel. "Oh, Izzy. Always the victim, aren't you?" Crane raised a hand, silencing the room. His expression was unreadable as he turned to Izzy. "What an intriguing story," he said. "But I must admit, I'm inclined to believe Amara. After all, she's proven herself time and time again." Izzy's heart sank, but she refused to back down. She turned to the crowd, her voice rising with conviction. "You're all being played. Amara is part of a scheme much bigger than you realize. She doesn't care about any of you. She only cares about herself." The crowd hesitated, doubt flickering in their eyes. Izzy seized the moment, her voice unwavering. "Victor Crane may hold the strings, but Amara is the one tightening the noose around your necks. And if you let her, she'll destroy you, just like she tried to destroy me." Amara's smirk faltered, her confidence cracking for the first time. Crane watched her closely, his expression darkening as realization dawned. "Amara," he said slowly, his voice a low growl. "What have you done?" Before Amara could respond, the sound of shattering glass echoed through the room. Malik and her team stormed in, weapons drawn, their presence cutting through the chaos like a blade. "Chicago PD," Malik shouted. "Everyone stay where you are." The room erupted into chaos as guests scrambled to flee, their carefully crafted facades crumbling under the weight of exposure. Crane remained still, his gaze fixed on Amara with a mixture of fury and betrayal. "You lied to me," he said, his voice deadly quiet. Amara stepped back, panic flashing in her eyes. "Victor, I can explain." "Enough," Crane snapped, his voice sharp enough to silence the room. He turned to Izzy, his expression unreadable. "You've caused quite a mess, Ms. Moore. But I can't decide whether to hate you or admire you." Izzy met his gaze, her voice steady. "The feeling's mutual." Malik stepped forward, her team taking Amara into custody. "Victor Crane, you're under arrest for conspiracy, fraud, and numerous other charges. Your empire is crumbling, and this is just the beginning." Crane smiled faintly, as though amused by the chaos around him. "You think you've won? This is a setback, detective. Nothing more." As he was led away, Izzy felt a strange mix of relief and unease. The battle was over, but the war was far from won. In the days that followed, Amara and Crane's network unraveled piece by piece. Their arrests sent shockwaves through the criminal underworld, and Izzy found herself thrust into the spotlight as both a survivor and a hero. But the victory felt hollow. Amara was her sister, and despite everything, a part of Izzy mourned what could have been. She visited Amara in custody once, hoping for closure, but Amara refused to speak, her silence a final act of defiance. As Izzy stood outside the precinct one evening, the city lights twinkling above her, she took a deep breath. Her life had been torn apart and pieced back together, but she was still standing, and she was ready for whatever came next.